Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewel.
Hey! Guess who this is? This is Duchess. And a couple of weeks ago, we spent time with Jules. We've been having a great, great time. I'm having a wonderful time today. I was looking forward to this show. I'm so happy to hear, see you there. Lights popping up all over the place. And I'm going to take myself off of, shift my tone on my mic here and hope I don't lose anyone. Because I've been having a lot of technical difficulties, things are changing, the energy is shifting, I'm shifting, and so we'll see. Are we still here? Praying that we're still together. Let's do this one more time, and hopefully we'll stay connected. Are we there? We should be there. I'm hoping that we're there. Let me check. Make sure. Looks like we are. We're on. Looking wonderful. The board is lighting up. I'm on air. You're coming on air. And I guess we can start as soon as I get this gum. I got this gum. I had this urge to chew. You know, that's a lot's been going on with me. I've been eating everything in sight. I'm just like, if I didn't know better, I'd think I was pregnant. And everyone knows that I cannot be pregnant. But I've just been wanting to eat everything. And I can't stop. In the last couple of weeks, I've gained close to 4 pounds, and I see my vascular surgeon on Wednesday, and he is not going to be a happy camper because he made me promise that I would lose 30 pounds when I saw him last year. He said, okay, you got a year to do this. And instead of losing, I gained 4 pounds. What can I say? I am so sorry. If anyone out there has any help for me, please tell me what I can do. It's just a craving to eat. So don't tell me to eat differently. I'm craving any and everything. So if you tell me to change what I eat, I'm still going to crave any and everything. It's like all of a sudden I've had this obsessive compulsion with food and just everything. Well, maybe it has something to do with the forecast. Remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about Lena Stevens's energy, the path, power path, and she had a power path energy theme for faith and trust. Well, we're going to close out what she had to say for this month because we're moving into another month pretty soon, and she'll come out with another energy forecast. So let's do that before we jump into topic. Finishing out this week, which would be the 16th to the 22nd, the power path says the energy gets really focused during this time, and you'll have a lot of opportunities to learn lessons and to expand your awareness. Use the time practically to put into practice some of your ideas, creative concepts, and theories that have been downloading for some time. You have a good combination of support to focus on your internal spiritual life, as well as witnessing some awesome, awesome manifestations you never thought possible in your external life. Prepare for the change of seasons by honoring what has changed in your life, as well as what still needs to shift. You can harness the natural power that supports change and use it to propel transitions in your life that need to happen. Remember to trust the process once you have made the decision and then to have faith and its positive outcome. This window that is being bookmarked by, eclipses. We've had a lot of eclipses since this year began. That's been very auspicious. Going into the fall equinox, we're having the fall equinox that's coming up on us in the next couple of days. We need to use this powerful time to hone our faith and trust in something that is important. Important to you, important to me, important to your just being. Share the joy and wonder and ask for help if you need it. September 23rd to the 30th, this time frame may feel chaotic, scattered, and a bit crazy and off-center. This is the most likely time this month where you will witness many people losing their way and their center, especially those that continue putting their faith and trust in the wrong structures, the wrong people, and the wrong belief systems. Awareness of this can come crashing in, making things even more unstable than they already are. So be consciously aware of that. You could be putting your trust and belief in your everything into the wrong types of systems. So you might want to tiptoe and shift and do things ever so gently as you try different things and try new concepts. It is very important during this time that you maintain your practices, stay neutral, trust in your own process no matter what it looks like out there, and have faith that everything will all turn out just fine. We're still in the play called Now and Never, and that final act is about to start. What have you learned about your own process of procrastination versus moving forward? Have you been able to move beyond your own tears and your own fears and gather some courage to trust? The energy is up and down, so don't take anything personally. And remember to get enough rest. We don't get enough rest these days. I know I've been sleeping a lot. Not only have I been eating, I've been sleeping. I've been just, like, so tired. And it may be the additional weight gains. That could be the reason for me feeling exhausted all the time. But we'll see. We have a full moon on the 27th and with a lunar eclipse, and that will happen Sunday. Yes, this is the beginning of the final act. But since this play is improvisational, where you are ending up today is entirely up to you and your level of trust and faith. Either you will be launched to a new experience of life and opportunity, or you will question everything. Either way, it's good. The play is not over yet. So with that, you know how your month is going to proceed, graduate, and end, according to Lena's path, power path, and it'll be up to you how you handle things. Like the power path says, it's improvisational. So that means you're making up the script as you go along, and that can be a good thing. Enjoy it. Have fun. But do it gently so that as you're making up your script, you're not throwing yourself into chaos and confusion as you go along. Make sure as you take those steps, you take them one at a time, you take them cautiously, and you take them in your own, at your own pace, your own stride. Don't let people push you into stuff. So I want to share with you how I came across this topic. I have a number of books that lay on the table, my night table, right there next to my bed. Some of these books I inherited them from a friend of mine's home. His name is Ross. Ross passed away last year, and I inherited a number of his books. And they were very interesting spiritual books. Some of them had a religious flavor, but I'm okay with religious flavor. I can always adapt them and adjust them to my spiritual growth. And I put these books by my night table, and I said, I'm going to read every single one of these books. And I hadn't gotten around to them all yet. One or two I browsed through. But I woke up one morning all groggy-eyed, and I turned over, and my eyes fell on one of the books that was on the bottom, mind you, but I could see a sentence at the bottom of the book peeking out from underneath the other books. And it said there was a question, and the question was, what on earth am I here for? And I said, wow, that's an interesting question. It's not like I haven't asked that question before, but for me to wake up and my eyes just fall on that question, I said, let me see what's inside this book. The title of the book is The Purpose-Driven Life. And what I liked about the book, these are the things I liked about the book. Number one, the chapters were very, very short. Number two, the author says, read one chapter per day for the next 40 days. So there are 40 chapters in the book. One of the things that some of you may be concerned with is as you move along and progress through the book, it has a more religious flavor to it. Now, those of you who are secure in your own faith, your own belief system, your own spiritual growth, books like that don't faze you. You can read a book with its own religious flavor to it and not feel offended by their, you know, use of who they believe in. You're reading the book because the energy in the book calls for you to learn something that's in that book, not necessarily change your religious faith. So I started reading the book, and once I started reading the book, I put the book down for a little while, but when I was seeking for a topic for today's show, the thought kept popping up into my head, the purpose-driven life, the purpose-driven life. So I decided this must be something that Spirit wants me to share with you. And so I went through the book, and I pulled out some excerpts from the book that may be of interest to those of you out there who are listening today. After we go through the excerpts from the book, then I want to talk to the old souls out there, and if you don't know if you're an old soul or not, you might want to hang around and listen to how old souls do things differently than other people. But first, let's discuss the purpose-driven life. What on earth am I here for? Well, day one, and I'm going to go through this by the chapters, and I'm not going through 40 chapters. I'm going to speed up somewhere in this process, or we won't have time to go through all of it. Day one, the first thing you learn is your purpose is not about you. How many of us thought that our purpose in life was about us? We sit around saying, what is my purpose in life and what should I be doing and how come I don't feel good about being here? Well, your purpose is not about you. That's number one. Day two, you learn your purpose is not about you because you are here to serve. You know you are not an accident. Because you are here, you can't be an accident. So what areas of your life or your struggle are you not accepting? Day three, we learn when we live on purpose, we find a path of peace. So what drives you? Is it elegantly simple, that which is driving you and moving you along? or is it radically forceful, like you're having to fight through every single day to get every single day done? You're like, oh, God, I got to do this and I got to do that. Well, if you feeling like that as you wake up and go through your day, you're not living on purpose, because you should be enjoying what you're doing. Even if it's just waking up and going in the kitchen to do the dishes, you should be feeling some sense of peace about that, some sense of, wow, this is my purpose at this particular moment. Day four. We begin to learn that there is more to life than just here and now. What we create here and now most definitely creates what happens next. Day five. If life really, is life really a test and a trust? How long does it take you to learn that you are not on purpose? And this is a test for you. Or how long does it take for you to realize that if we trust and move along ever so gently, we'll realize that we're going in the direction that we're destined to go in? Day six. Love day six. Day six, we learn that this world is not real. What do we mean by that? Well, when we wrap our mind around that concept, if we can, we are better able to create the reality we are living. It's as though we're living in a holodeck. You know, if you ever watch Star Trek, they go in and they say holodeck, create a particular world, a particular scene, and they interact with the individuals in that particular world and that scene. And when it's time for them to go back to the bridge, they say holodeck, end program. Well, this is a world that we've programmed, and this is the world that we live in. So this world is really, really not real. Seven, there is a reason for everything, and nothing happens by chance. Not one darn thing. The good, the bad, the ugly, all things that we see, they happen for a reason. Day eight, we learn that you are planned for your creator's pleasure. Wow, that's deep. Okay. Does that mean I'm being watched here? I'm being watched? And if I am being watched by my creator, and I'm being watched for my creator's pleasure, how many smiles resonate through me to me? Because if I am an aspect of my creator in human form, and I am here for my creator's pleasure, then how much pleasure is my creator getting through me? Am I waking up with a smile on my face? Or am I sitting around sad and depressed all day, every day? I think the easiest thing in the world for us to do is to wake up and be depressed. We do not have to fight to be depressed. I can think of something out of the clear blue, just pull it out of the sky, something that made me sad 500 years ago, and think about it, and I can be depressed. We have to work to be happy. That is our greatest purpose in life, to smile and be happy. Can we do that? And what makes the smiles come through? Now we're at day nine. The smiles come through when we trust that all things are happening for a reason, and we trust that change is perfection, even though we don't understand or see it at the moment. So if I'm feeling like I want to be sad today and I want to make myself sad by some thought that popped into my brain, I go outside and look up at the sky and look up at the sun and just smile because the sun is smiling down on me, whew, I can make myself change my mood and my attitude. I remember one day, let's talk about day 10, where we learn that to surrender our will and our life over to the care of our Creator, we take steps in many directions. We can feel when we are letting go and letting spirit, or letting go and letting God take over. We can feel when God is helping us to help ourselves. I remember one year I was confused. I was walking around and I was saying, wow, when I was a little girl, they used to say God helps those who help themselves. And now I'm hearing let go and let God, you know, be patient. Well, what the heck does that mean? Because that sounded so contradictory to me. Okay. Then one day I was looking for a job. I had these applications going all over the place, and I had resumes I was sending. And I walked to the post office, and I got to the post office, and I had about 10, honestly, 10 envelopes with resumes in there. And I stamped them, and I threw them in the post office, and that's when it hit me. When I put together all 10 of those resumes and I addressed those envelopes and I put those stamps on them and I put my cover letter in there, that was me. That was the example of my Creator helping me help myself. God helps those who help themselves. And that's what I was doing, helping myself. Once I put all those envelopes into the mailbox and left them with the post office, that was my way of letting go and letting God, because I had no more control over it then, at that point. So in the book, we come to day 11 to day 14. We learn to develop a relationship with our Creator. Now, how many people have a relationship with spirit? How many people have a relationship, not a complaining one, one where you just have a relationship and you know that you don't walk by yourself? And if you do need some human contact, a human voice to speak to, you know that that relationship that you have with your Creator is so tight. Y'all got that thing so tight and so together that your Creator will send you what you need, and you don't have a problem feeling like this will be so. One of the best books I've ever read on relationship with my Creator was one written by Neil Donald Walsh, and the entire book is entitled Relationship with God. Great book. Beautiful book, meaningful book. Okay, let's talk about day 15 to 21. Life is all about love. Now, you must find your community and a place to belong. That could be your church, that could be your mosque, that could be your masjid, that could be your synagogue, that could be the senior center around the corner, that could be the community center, that could be a covenant. That could be a political group. That could just be a spiritual group, a meetup group, any kind of group. You got to find your community, because man cannot live alone. You need others in your life. You are called to belong and not just to believe. Okay? You can't just walk around believing. You got to belong. And restoring relationships that have been broken. That is key. Do you have relationships that have been broken? Well, maybe it's time for you to repair them. And think about it. Don't rush into it. But it may be time to repair them. Community requires commitment. And if you're not committed to belonging, then you need to hurry up and get there. Next we have chapters 22 to 27. Chapters 22 to 27. In this chapter, we learn that it's never too late to grow. It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter how you're feeling today. Tomorrow is always another day. The next hour is always another hour. There is a purpose behind every problem. And what problem has caused the greatest growth? So while we're learning to grow and we're knowing that it's not too late to grow and we're walking through all of these problems and chaos and madness in our lives, we've got to understand that that's all a part of growth. I used to always say to people, you know, Christians, Jesus's blessings were his burdens. So as we walk through life, we find that our greatest spiritual leaders, their burdens were their blessings. We got to grow. So we're not supposed to have burdens? It's how we accept them and how we work through those challenges and those burdens. Chapter 28 to 35, we learn that there are no shortcuts to the spiritual maturity that we've embarked upon. You ask, how you can make the best use of the gifts you have been blessed with. Your blessings are there for you to share with others. There is where you receive your just rewards and true abundance, not by holding on to it. You got to share it. You have to share yourself. So often in my past, I was quite resentful because it seemed like, oh, people just wanted to use me up. And I shared all of who I am and all of what I had. But then we get to chapter 36 to 40, and we realize that we are made for a mission. Our Creator wants us to say, our Creator desires to say something to the world through us. So those things that I was being resentful for because I had given so much, I was meant to give that because that was my Creator's way of speaking not only to me but through me to others around me. So your Creator wants to say something to the world through you. And you're on a mission. You got to find balance. When we start talking about 36 to 40, chapters 36 to 40, day 36 to 40, you begin to realize that you have to find balance. And you find that balance by surrounding yourself with like-minded spiritual people. You also have a regular spiritual checkup. Self-evaluation is good. Are you treating everyone around you the way you desire to be treated, unconditionally and without expectation for a return from anyone but your Creator? How about passing on what you know? To keep your spiritual wisdom flowing, you must give it away freely, always, to those who desire to have it. And when I say it like that, give it away freely, because as it's pouring in, you can't get more if you close it all up inside yourself and say, I'm not going to share this with so-and-so, and I'm not going to share this with this person because they may steal my idea. The more you give away, the more you're able to receive, because you can't just hold it in and let it get stagnant and just let it just get stuck in there. All right? To keep your spiritual wisdom flowing, you must give it away freely, always to those who desire to have it. And you don't just walk around telling people, you know, I had this revelation, this is what you need to do. No. If someone comes to you and says, I'm having an issue going on in my life. Do you have any suggestions? Do you have any recommendations? You know, how do you feel about this? What did you do when you were in this similar situation? That's when you start giving away your stuff. Or you can do it like Duchess does it. You give it away over the air. You don't know who's touching. Who is touching? You know who is touching when the phones light up on the board, but you don't know how far reaching it is. And you're just giving it there. But you see, I didn't come and knock on your door and step in your living room and sit down and say, hey, I got to talk to you about this purpose-driven life. No, I posted a title on the internet, and you came and knocked on my door and say, well, I think I'll give this a little listen. And in order for me to get more wisdom flowing through, I have to give this that I've garnered through reading this book. I have to give it away so I can have room for the next book on my night table, because there is another one. I can't wait to get to that one. Ross had some wonderful books. Once again, you got to give it away in order for you to keep it yourself. Always to those who desire to have it. And in closing, may I say, in closing with the topic, living with purpose is the only way to live life fully. Excuse me. And that was The Purpose-Driven Life, and the book is by Rick Warren. And I will tell you that as he moves through the book, he begins to quote Bible verses. So if you're not hot on the Bible, or if you can't sidestep the Bible verses and put the book in perspective, your own perspective, then you may not find the book interesting. I'm able to put most any book within my own flavor, my own perspective, and I can find the blessing and the joy in anything that is written for the good of spirit. Okay? So, we've got time. I know there's some old souls out there. I consider myself an old soul. I believe I've been here before. I've had intuitives tell me that this is the last time I have to come. I usually stay on purpose, and I don't have to come back. I understand that's a blessing, because some people believe you have to come back and leave and then come back until you don't have to return anymore, because you have fulfilled all of your obligations to spirit, to your spirit, as it wanted to grow and evolve spiritually, or get its spiritual, how do you say, lessons in physical form. So let's talk about the old souls that are marching around out there, walking around out there. Some of you don't even know you're an old soul. You just don't understand why stuff's happening to you and why you're feeling a particular way. Maya de Leon, Maya de Lion said, over time, I have learned that my old soul sees a part of itself in every person it meets. It has the ability to see through others' eyes. With this lesson, I have achieved greater humility, compassion, and kindness towards all mankind. And that's what also old souls, that's how old souls feel. I had a conversation with a gentleman, one of the maintenance guys at my leasing office yesterday. He kept insisting that I was trying to tell him that his Bible was wrong, and I kept trying to tell him, no, your Bible is not wrong for you. And I respect the fact that that is your book, you know, and I don't feel that you should change your religion just because I don't read the Bible. And old souls usually don't impose themselves on others, irregardless to what their belief system is. As long as you're not hurting me, you know, you are free to be who you are. Hold on a second now. I got to take a swallow of water. I'm getting kind of dry here. I hope you didn't hear that, because I sure was chugging it. All right. Let's do this. An old soul walks through life observing and absorbing every experience, encounter, and lesson. They appreciate the spirit and the beauty of all that surrounds them. An old soul lives in a state of gratitude that they have the ability to see things differently, to see things beyond what most people see. While often a blessing, it is sometimes a curse, and it's one they are willing to bear, knowing it is serving them and those that they come in contact with in the best way. So how about we share these 11 things old souls do differently? You may find it very interesting. Old souls speak a different language. Words have the ability to take on different meaning based on one's experiences. Everything in our lives shapes who we are and how we communicate. Negative experiences can shape the meaning of certain words, which becomes a limitation and can keep us stuck. An old soul understands that this perception exists, but does not put those same limitations on themselves. And because they do not allow their experiences to dictate their thoughts and actions, they are often speaking a different language than those around them. Old souls create their own path. Old souls are not interested in pursuing the typical path to success. In fact, they define success completely differently than most. Because they are not caught up in society's definition of success, they often chart their own path to a heightened sense of self-discovery and higher truth. Old souls often find themselves traveling this path alone, and they are completely comfortable and even prefer it. Old souls are lifelong learners. Nothing feeds an old soul's spirit than learning. And they know that taking in new knowledge frequently is their calling. They feel it's their responsibility to learn and share the wisdom they've gained with the rest of the world, which they feel is moving away from connectedness and compassion. They believe it to be their responsibility to share the lessons that will reverse this trend. Old souls are contemplative. Contemplation is the cornerstone of an old soul's day. Much of their time is spent contemplating what is learned, observed, and experienced, putting it into perspective and absorbing these lessons. I'm going to tell you, old souls are interesting folks. They believe everything has meaning, and they are on a constant quest to find it. Old souls have only a few close friends. Because of their serious and introspective nature, an old soul can seem intense. They don't waste their energy on gathering friends. Instead, they cultivate a social network that is supportive and understands their true nature and relationship with learning life's lessons. Old souls are overwhelmed by possibility. Old souls know everything has meaning, and because of this, they want to learn constantly. They see an adventure in all that they do and have a never-ending list of things they want to experience. Nothing is off limits to an old soul because they know there's much value in new experiences. The possibilities are overwhelming. They would take it all on if they could, but instead they must choose their next adventures, and that can be challenging. That's because they want to do everything. Old souls belong everywhere and nowhere. An old soul is adaptable to most situations, but even so, they often find themselves as an outsider. They get along with everyone, and yet they don't do well with small talk. They are often welcome because of their insights, but lose interest when others do not display the same high-level thought processes. They love a good debate, but don't do well when people have a hard time seeing their point of view. In the end, an old soul belongs everywhere and at the same time feels like they don't belong anywhere. Old souls think bigger. An old soul thinks beyond the first level thinking that many of us use on a daily basis. It's like they are in a constant game of chess, thinking through every possibility of their opponent's moves. And not just the next move, but several moves into the game. It's this kind of higher level thinking in life that makes it interesting. Old souls feel deeply. An old soul has a strong connection to the plights of the world, and they feel the suffering more than most. Of course, they also feel the love and compassion. But it's the haunting of the world's suffering that drives how they live and the actions they take. They feel it's their duty to do what they can in service and spread the message of hope. Old souls connect to ancient traditions. Old souls do not attach themselves to one religion. Instead, they seek to understand and practice ancient traditions from a variety of cultures. They believe these traditions are a key component of living a meaningful and happier life. Old souls seek the truth at all costs. While they understand the truth can hurt at times, they know without a doubt that they must seek it to continue living optimally. Living in their truth means understanding and accepting the truth as it appears. It doesn't discourage them. It is simply information they use to make the best choices moving forward. Many of us have bits and pieces of an old soul in us. However, we probably don't cultivate the sense of learning and higher level thinking enough to be considered a true old soul. When you come in contact with an old soul, soak up what they have to say. It is wisdom you can put into practice to help you live better. That's your old souls. I know the old souls out there know who they are. And some parts of it, it sounded very sad. I guess sometimes old souls can feel a little lonely because they're vibrating at a different level, and most people don't understand where they're coming from. And a lot of people just shy away from them, but they really don't know what they're missing. Because once you can embrace an old soul in your life, you can only do so if you're ready to evolve to a greater degree. If they get on your nerves, guess what? You're not ready. You're not ready. So it doesn't affect the old soul. They're always going to be who they are and how they are. That's it for the old soul. And I guess it's time for us to do our little energy walk. A couple of weeks ago, I was in North Carolina, and I was with Jules, and we had a great, great, wonderful time. And she was able to do the energy card vibration, and sometimes we don't have time for it during the show. But I decided that today we were going to make time for it. We were going to do a vibrational walk with the animals and see which animal came up and blessed our cards today. And so with that, I want to say everybody focus in on the question you want answered. Focus in on sending the energy across the airways so we can find the right energy, the right animal to bless your next couple of weeks with. Okay. Moment of silence, looking for the right animal, feeling it. All righty, here we go. The ancients recognize, hawk is your animal. Hawk is the messenger. Hawk, messenger of the sky, circle my dreams and teach me the message as we fly. The ancients recognize this magnificent bird of prey as a messenger bringing tidings to their earth walk, the good red road, from the world of the grandfathers and grandmothers who lived before them. If hawk were to magically cry, it was a sign to beware or be aware. This could mark the coming of a warring tribe, the birth of a child, or the celebration of counting coups. Hawk's cry signaled the need for the beholder to heighten awareness and receive a message. One day we're going to do a show on totems. Hawk is my totem, and I love hawk. So when I'm driving around, I do take note that there is a hawk in the sky, and I do take note that I need to be aware, or I need to be aware of something. Hawk medicine is a totem that is filled with responsibility because hawk people see the overall view. Hawk is not like mouse who sees everything through a magnifying glass. Hawk medicine people are aware of omens, messages from the spirit, and the color of the calling card you gave them 3 months ago. No detail slips by hawk unnoticed. If hawk has circled and landed in your card spread, you are to be aware of signals in your life. So notice and receive them. To be aware of signals in your life, to notice and receive them. Hawk may be teaching you to grab an opportunity which is coming your way, On the other hand, Hawk may be bringing you the message that you should circle over your life and examine it from a perspective that is much higher. From this vantage point, you may be able to discern the hazards which bar you from freedom of flight. Remember, Hawk has a keen eye and a bold heart, for Hawk flies close to the light of Grandfather's sun. That's our Hawk message for the day. Next week, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do a show the first Sunday of October, which I believe will be the 4th of October, because I got a new grandbaby. My new grandbaby is in California, and I got to go visit my new grandbaby and see how she's doing. I don't know. I've been telling my son, got all those strange people touching my baby, and I haven't touched her yet. No, I'm getting ready to go and touch my new grandbaby. That would be a good thing for grandma to do. I'm happy to have, wow, look at this board all lit up. Before we go off the air, I want to entertain questions from my participating audience out there. You look wonderful. You're looking good. Wow, there's a bunch of y'all out there. I feel good. So let's do this disclaimer. The information we share here will never be offered as medical advice and should not be considered medical advice or treatment, nor religious doctrine, and is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. Always seek the advice of a physician or other qualified healthcare professional regarding any mental or physical health condition or treatment. Any questions out there? Anybody want to visit me on air? I'm here, the telephone number. Well, you're already online, so I don't really have to give out the telephone number, do I? But just in case you want to write it down, area code 347-324-3030. And if you just press 1, we can say howdy online. I hear there's a parade going on in New York City. There's a lot of current events going on out there that I don't know. I have chosen not to discuss on air unless somebody in particular really wants to discuss on air. Hold on a second. I have someone that wants to say hi to us.
Hey, Duchess, it's Andy.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Congratulations
on your
grandbaby. What's going on in your world?
Well, I'll tell you about it soon, but not a whole lot. I'm looking to trying to find my direction, so what you're saying is right. It speaks to me.
Well, you're a surprise.
Well, yeah.
This is great. I'm keeping this phone number.
You got it.
Yeah,
well,
I'm keeping this phone number.
So congratulations on your grandbaby.
Anything
in particular
you want to share with the audience about what the top, you know, either the topic, Linda Stevens, anything you want to share?
Well, I have a question. Which is easier than sharing. Maybe after I ask my question, maybe I'll share, I don't know. But my question is, I'm just starting to read The Power of Introverts in a World That Can't Stop Talking by Susan Cain. And what you were saying before about old souls sounded similar to introverts, and I was just wondering if introverts and old souls are the same thing.
And let's just put it this way. An introvert can be an old soul. An old soul can be an introvert. They don't have to be the same thing. In other words, you can be an introvert without being an old soul. You can be an old soul without being an introvert.
Yeah, because I'm definitely an introvert. I'm not sure that I don't think I'm an old soul.
Well, you may not think that you are, but you may be,
oh.
You know, but not, you know, I mean, when you grow yourself, your spirituality, as you grow spiritually, that's when you begin to realize whether you're one or the other or both. So continue, continue exploring yourself. You never know what you're going to find as you evolve. You know?
All right, thank you.
It's a wonderful thing. But a lot of your old souls are not necessarily introverts. They just tend to hang with themselves. Not because they intend to be introverts. Sometimes being an introvert, we had a whole show. If you, I'm gonna send you the link to the show that we had on introverts.
Oh, okay.
A whole show on introverts, and that may be able to give you shed more light into your question.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you.
So hopefully I'll see you soon.
Yeah, I'm gonna email you back.
Okay. You take care.
Okay, you too. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Andy. Thanks for popping in. It was great to hear from you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that was Andy. I haven't heard from Andy in a long time. Great guy, that Andy. We used to do walks together. So, is there anyone else who would like to pop in here and say howdy? I'd love to hear from you. Okay, once again, you know the number, 70. Oh, I'm giving you my area code, 347-324-3030. We have a couple of minutes. If not, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to thank everyone for calling in and listening. And once again, thank Andy for calling in and asking a question. And hopefully I'll see you or hear from you in a couple of weeks. If I'm able to, I will do a show from California. If not, then I won't be able to plug into you until the middle of October. And the middle of October will bring us right on into the 18th. But I'm going to try to do a show from California. That will be great because I have quite a few people there in California that can get on the air and interact with the audience. Okay, this is Duchess signing off. Once again, thank you very much. I thank my creator for blessing me with a wonderful show today, and hope to hear from you soon. And you can always go to the website, InsideMattersTalk.com, and leave me a message through the emails. Take care. Stay blessed. And I'll talk to you soon. Be good. Night-night. Thank you.